This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. Do you ever feel the burden of too much to do? What I call the weight of the unfinished? You know, if you saw my to-do list, you would laugh or maybe you would cry. I have way too many things to keep track of every day. I just checked my to-do list right now and I have 39 things to do today. And that's short. A lot of times it's even longer than that. So I definitely need to hear what I'm talking about today, and maybe you do as well. Welcome to episode 12 of Unhurried. I'm Doug Kyle, your host, and today I want to talk a little bit about the Zeigarnik effect. I'll explain that more in a moment, but thank you for listening today, and I congratulate you if you happen to be one of the handful of people that have actually heard me 7 times in the last 8 days. The reason I say that is if you go back a little over a week ago, I spoke on Palm Sunday. Maybe you were here to hear that at the church, or you had a chance to listen to that online. And then on Tuesday, I gave our Unhurried podcast. On Thursday morning, we put together some videos that would lead into Easter morning, and I did a Thursday morning of Passion Week Easter video. That evening, we had a Communion Thursday service at the church, which was designed to recall the events around the Last Supper. On Saturday, I also did a video for Silent Saturday that went out online and to people's phones and emails via video. And then, of course, yesterday was Easter Sunday, and now today I'm giving the podcast again, which means that's, if I'm counting right, that's 7 times in the last 8 days. So if you happen to be anyone out there who heard all of those times, I definitely owe you a coffee or something. I know my wife heard me each of those times, so bless her heart. I definitely owe her a coffee. And if that happens to be you, I'd love to hear about it. Would you please just send me an email at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com and let me know. I would love to know about that. But no matter what, I'm really glad that you're listening today as we get into the topic today, the weight of the unfinished. The Zeigarnik effect is something that is a term used in psychological circles. It goes back to the 1920s when a Russian psychologist named Bluma Zeigarnik, who was named after, she observed an odd thing. While she was dining out at a restaurant, she was impressed by how the waitstaff was able to keep track of these pretty complicated orders, to remember them and remember to whom they went. But as soon as the bill was paid, those orders were gone. They completely forgot what each customer ordered. And that observation gave rise to what now is called the Zeigarnik effect. It refers to our tendency to remember incomplete or unfinished tasks better than those that we have completed. Now, at first glance, that maybe seems like kind of a good thing. I mean, we all need to remember things that are on our to-do list, the things that are unfinished, the things that we need to accomplish. There is a problem, though, related to this, and that's what the observation, the effect, really goes into. Why is it so easy for us to remember those things that we still have to do, to have those just kind of fill our minds and consume our thinking, when it's so easy to forget about the things that we've accomplished, the things that are already done that we can sort of celebrate? I was especially intrigued by this study, this effect, because I was a waiter in my seminary days. I kind of helped put myself through seminary by waiting tables, and I remember I used to take pride in never writing down the order. I would go to the table. I would have my pad, a notepad that I could write the orders on, but I would keep it in my apron pocket. Instead, I would ask the table what they want. I would remember each order without even ever writing it down. And then I would scramble into the kitchen and quickly write it all down while I still remembered it. Then I also had to remember who ordered what. And my system to do that was I would, when I approached the table, I would look for a memorable person, someone I go, I'll remember that this is the individual I picked out. And I would start with their order. And then I would work my way clockwise around. And when I wrote them down, I wrote them down in the same order as well. And when I retrieved the meals, I would know to whom which order went. And I was pretty good at it. I especially liked it when I had a large party, a large group of people at a table. I still would keep my notepad in my pocket. And if they commented on it, like, how do you remember all that? I always considered that kind of a personal win. It was sort of like cramming for a test. You just remember all this information really quickly. You'd write it all down, and then immediately you'd forget it. So I related to the Zeigarnik effect. I lived it when I was in seminary and I was a waiter. And while this may seem like kind of a natural thing for us to do in our human way of thinking, to remember those things that are still need to be accomplished, the downside of this, and the reason that this is considered an effect and maybe something to watch out for in our lives, is because we don't really pause to think about what we've accomplished. We never stop to celebrate that which has already happened, to rejoice in things that we've accomplished. We're always moving forward. We're always kind of on that treadmill of more things to do. I still have occasionally waiter nightmares about having too many tables and running around and trying to get to the next table, and I'm always moving in slow motion. And we can kind of live our lives that way. There's always more to do. There's always more ahead. And so we never pause to really reflect on what's happened. And I think in the spiritual life and our walk with God, this is also especially important to realize that this is a problem. This can be something that can also, we can fall prey to in our life with God as well. We don't stop and think about all that has been accomplished, all that we've done, the successes that we've had, or the accomplishments that we've made. And especially when it comes to the spiritual life, to think about the accomplishments that Jesus has made for us. As I say these words, as I speak, you know, yesterday was Easter. And I know that for me, it's so easy over the years in ministry to get through Easter and immediately be rushing on to the next thing. What's the new series? What's the new focus? Where do we need to go this spring in our ministry, at our church, with our people? And we hardly pause to think about all that has been accomplished for us, what we just celebrated yesterday, Easter Sunday. So for those of us that are prone to live under the weight of the unfinished, perhaps this is a good time for me to remind you and myself of what Jesus said in John 19:30. It says, Jesus said this, it was on the cross, and he said, "It is finished." Those were his final words on the cross. It is finished. And we need to live with those words. His work for us has been accomplished. His work for us has been done. He didn't say, "I am finished." It wasn't a cry of resignation. He said, "It is finished," as in, "It is accomplished. All that I have done for you on the cross in your walk with God has been completely accomplished." And you know, I think that he actually had in mind Psalm 22 when he said those words. The reason I say that, Psalm 22 begins famously with the words, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Those were also words that Jesus said from the cross early on. He uttered those words. And some believe that he was actually quoting Psalm 22 when he said that. Because if you go on to read Psalm 22, it sounds a lot like what Jesus was experiencing on the cross. It begins, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish?" It goes on to say in verse 7, "All who see me mock me. They hurl insults at me, shaking their head." In verse 14, he says, "I am poured out like water. My bones are out of joint," which sounds a lot like him thirsting from the cross and the excruciating agony of crucifixion. In verse 24, it says, "For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one." That's God has not despised that. "He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help." And then the psalm ends, surprisingly, with this kind of victory, these words of triumph, when it says, "Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declare to a people yet unborn, final words of this, he has done it." And those final words of the psalm, "he has done it," could be translated, "it is finished." And so in many ways, when Jesus says it is finished, he is talking about the entire ordeal of the cross, all that he came to do, all that he came to accomplish, that which was predicted centuries before, and he accomplished there on the cross that which God had called him to do. Again, it was not a cry of resignation. It was a cry of triumph. It is completed. He has for us accomplished our forgiveness. He has renewed our relationship with God that had been broken. It was now restored. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he says it meant that our right standing with God was completely accomplished. And so these are great words that we can live with here as we come out of Easter, as we move into the spring, that God has finished for us that which we could not do for ourselves, and to live with that and to celebrate that and to rejoice in it. Before we became believers, we probably agonized over this. What can I do to make myself right with God? What can I do to please him, to appease him, to do the things that he requires of me? And suddenly we become a Christian, we become a believer, and we realize that those things were done for us by Jesus. We now are completely righteous before God because of Jesus's his righteousness given to us there on the cross. He stood in our place, and we ourselves have been made completely perfect and righteous before God because he sees us through the sacrifice of Jesus. And yet, we celebrate that on Easter weekend, the cross, the resurrection, the new life that we have in him, but it's easy to, at least for me, to put that in the kind of the check the list off category. Okay, been there, done that, taken care of that, that's good. And then move on to that which we still need to do and start focusing again, get on that spiritual treadmill of all the things that we need to do to kind of stay right with God or prove that we're good enough or we deserve that which he did for us, instead of really resting and rejoicing in his work for us. And as soon as we move into that hurry mode, into that all the things we need to do, it robs us of the spiritual rest that he came to accomplish for us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." And we need to be careful because it's so easy for us as believers to miss out on the rest that he wants us to have. And so coming out of Easter, I don't want to race out of it. I don't want to rush out of it. I don't want to rush on into all the things that need to happen. Instead, we need to pause, take a deep breath, and to enjoy and to appreciate and relish the right standing that we have with God because of Jesus's death and resurrection. Somebody says, "Yeah, but I still have a lot to do." And I get that. Life is full of tasks and projects. There's always more to do. But when we do that from the foundation of being already made secure in Christ, already being right in him, when we do that from the foundation of Easter, it's a whole different way to approach it. Rather than seeing those things as somehow proving ourselves or making ourselves look better or be better or somehow having to demonstrate something about ourselves, compare ourselves with others, instead we stand on the foundation of what's been done for us, and it grows out of that. The rolled away stone from the tomb becomes the foundation upon which we stand upon and do the tasks that come our way. But we do it from a place of security, and we do it from a place of rest. So I hope that for you and for me, we can have the burden of the unfinished lifted from us as we rest in what Jesus has done for us, that we can go from Easter and grow from Easter and let it really change the way we look at the things that press in upon us. In a moment, I'll finish this podcast and I'll have 38 things to do. Check off one of them. I did the podcast, but hopefully I'll look at those 38 things through a different lens. I'll see them through the window of faith, knowing that none of those things that are pressing on me say anything about who I am before God or what I need to accomplish, still have yet to accomplish spiritually. But I can triage those things and approach those things in a calm and a restful way, knowing that the greatest thing that needed to be finished in my life has already happened when Jesus said and declared from the cross, "It is finished." You know, I hope to live with this a little bit more. So over the next few weeks in this podcast, we're going to go a little more deeply into this with a series I'm calling Losing My Religion. We're going to use the book of Galatians as the foundation for that. And we're going to look at the ways that religion can shackle us and where faith can set us free. And it'll go along well with what we've talked about today. So I hope this has given you a new way to look at how Easter carries us through the rest of the year. And the powerful phrase that Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished." And to realize that that changes the way we look at all the unfinished tasks in our life as well. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle. Thanks so much for following along. I look forward to talking soon.